Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347. Make sure to go to timcast.com, click join us, and become a member to support this podcast and all the work we do. And you'll get access to exclusive uncensored segments from Timcast IRL and way more. Now, let's jump into the first story. I just think it's all political. If you're to come to me and ask me why are they coming after Elon Musk so hard, it is political. So let me give you the breakdown. Elon Musk bought X. Boy, did that make him persona non grata. They are pissed at him. They started accusing him of all sorts of stuff, right? Well, he buys Twitter, turns it into X, restores a degree of free speech, bringing some people back. There are still some concerns and criticisms, but I think Elon's doing the best he can. So then something else happens. You see, several years ago, there was a pay package negotiated between Tesla and Elon Musk, and he would get $56 billion in shares. It's $56 billion based on the share price today. It wasn't as much back then. So some dude sues. Elon Musk the company is sued in court in Delaware. And the judge there rules the pay package is excessive and not allowed, that the board of directors were basically not independent of him. Psychotic ruling. I am a Tesla shareholder. I hold several hundred shares. So I have a decent amount of money, not breaking the bank or anything in terms of everyone's standard investment, but I got a good amount of money in Tesla. When I hear this, I'm pissed off. Taking away CEO pay, his bonus package for making the company as successful as it is and making me a lot of money, he's now not getting paid that, puts my money at risk. So I'm pissed. Them going after Elon Musk is directly affecting me, and I am very angry about it. The big news that came out in the past week was that the lawyers involved want $6 billion from the company. That's right. This is criminal and insane. I want to know, who do I sue to get his pay reinstated? And I'll tell you why. I believe that, one, having a large portion of shares held by Elon Musk locks them up, and that will mean there is more demand for shares than supply. The price will go up. I believe that it incentivizes one of the smartest guys on the planet to continue to work within the company. I believe it incentivizes the CEO to incorporate other elements of other companies he owns into this existing company. The more ties Elon Musk has to Tesla, the more successful Tesla will be, the more money shareholders will make, and it is the responsibility of that company to pay him. So who is this judge to shut him down? Okay, fine. I want to know how to get the CEO his pay package, because I don't want to lose money on this. And the stock's already gone down. Now the legal team behind this, they want $6 billion. Oh, this is nuts, man. Take a look at this. The lawyers who voided Elon Musk's $56 billion compensation as excessive on Friday sought a record $6 billion legal fee payable in the electric car maker's stock. I feel like they're stealing from me. I bought this stock because I own two Teslas. I see the expansion. I see what Elon is doing. He is putting himself in the press. He is getting a lot of attention. I'm like, this guy knows how to generate interest. And this is the game they play. They said, "We recognize that the requested fee is unprecedented in terms of the absolute size," three law firms said in a filing with the Court of Chancery in Delaware. "The fee works out to an hourly rate of $288,888," they said. Musk blasted the request as criminal, posting on his X platform, "The lawyers who did nothing but damage Tesla want $6 billion, and they want to damage it more." Tesla and Musk's attorney did not immediately respond to requests for comment. The company would pay the lawyers who represented Richard Tornetta, a shareholder who sued Musk in 2018 over the pay package, which a Delaware judge nixed in January. The electric vehicle maker is being asked to pay the fee because it benefited from the return of Musk's pay package, which the legal team said will result in a return to the carmaker of 266 million shares. This structure has the benefit of linking the award directly to the benefit created and avoids taking even 1 cent from the Tesla balance sheet to pay fees. Judge Kathleen McCormick, who is overseeing the case and will decide on the fee, called Musk's pay unfathomable in her ruling. The company may object to the fee, as it has a fee request in a similar case over its pay for its directors. The largest settlements in shareholder cases have occurred in federal court. The biggest fee was $688 million in 2008 for the legal team that obtained a $7.2 billion settlement in a securities fraud case over the failure of Enron. The Tesla fee request comes as the Delaware Supreme Court considers an appeal of a $267 million fee in a case that settled for $1 billion involving Dell Technologies. Delaware judges have said that pursuing cases deep into litigation through depositions and toward trial should get a higher percentage of the recovery to reflect the risk and effort. The Musk pay case went to a 1 week trial. Opponents of this approach argue that as settlements and judgments grow in size, attorneys should collect a declining percentage. I don't see why these scumbags are entitled to 1 cent of this company. I don't get it. I'm pissed off. How is it that I will be negatively impacted over this case between other parties? You've got a shareholder who sues Tesla saying this deal is no good. Well, I object to that. How does this one guy get to override the will of all of the shareholders and everyone involved in the company who agrees it's a good thing? And now we all have to lose money. Why? It's political. There's no reason to go after Elon Musk this way, but it would have made him substantially more money in a company that he is leading and making valuable. I want to tell you guys something. Tesla made a decision to cut the price of their vehicles. I purchased a Tesla Model S Plaid. I'll tell you why. I'm not a man of luxuries. I do not care all that much for fancy cars, but there is a reality. When I was younger, I used to think it was silly that people owned these big houses. I'm like, why would you buy a $30 million mansion? Dude, I still believe that. We've got the cast castle. That's what we call it. And I don't know what we're going to do with it. We're about to move to a new location. And it's like 10,000 square feet or more. A lot of work's been done to it. We've partially finished, you know, the attic space, adding more usable square footage. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. But here's the point. It's hard to maintain. We're probably going to still do shows here, but different shows. It's hard to maintain. Cleaners, very expensive for a property of this size with this many people in it. Why would someone want to buy something so big? Well, for the business, it made sense. So we bought it. We use it for the company. That makes sense. To live in? The house that I actually live in, it's like the living space that I use, Allison and I, it's like 1,300 square feet. We have a kitchen. We have a bedroom. The kitchen and living room are one big room. We don't need anything else. To be fair, there's extra space and extra bedrooms for future planning. And we're relocating. We're doing construction on our actual house. Well, I should be careful. The house we're currently sleeping at most of the time, because our actual house owner is getting remodeled and stuff like that, they're about the same size. The house we're moving into has extra bedrooms for obvious reasons. And I'll leave it at that. I don't care for luxuries, but I did buy a Tesla Model S Plaid for one reason. You can't just sit on cash. They're inflating the economy and they're making the dollar worth less and less and less. So the reality is we've got money sitting around. If we want to use it for anything, you can't just have cash. So what do we do? Well, business-wise, like Timcast, the company, mostly just spends it. We hire people, we invest in projects, we want to expand the culture, we want to win. We've got an announcement coming soon. We're probably going to have a wrapped car in NASCAR. I'm very excited for this. But we want to spend the money on culture. We want to build culture. That's where we mostly spend it. My personal money, which comes from this show, I'm like, I got to put the money somewhere. So I buy a Tesla. The Model S Plaid sold for like $160,000. And I said, it's a great car. It's a great vehicle. It's going to retain a good portion of its value. And then Tesla slashed the price, ripping away from me like 50 grand. Brutal. But it is what it is. Why? Well, I am not so stupid. Not only did I buy a vehicle, because the vehicle holds its value, and it still holds most of it, but a lot of it was slashed and they lowered the price, because now who's going to want to buy a more expensive used car, right? But I bought shares. The slashing of the vehicle may suck as an owner of the vehicle, but as a shareholder, it's great news for me. More vehicles on the streets, more Tesla vehicles. Okay, company will make more money. So it is what it is. I'm saying that not every decision made by Elon Musk has greatly benefited me, but I'm not going to sue Tesla for making the company succeed. I'm not going to sue them because I bought a vehicle and then they found a way to make it lower cost so more people can get them. That's stupid. I want Elon to make lots of money and get rich, so I bought shares. That was the strategy. And now they're screwing me over because of it. Elon Musk is not a perfect guy. He makes mistakes, but this is absolutely insane. And now they're going to take $6 billion from this company? Yo, I invested in this company. Them taking $6 billion in shares negatively impacts me. Why? Because they disagreed? Because a court thinks that the package shouldn't have happened? I agree the package should have happened. Where's my say as a shareholder? I'm pissed. Shout out to Elon. He deserves the money. I made a good amount of money on my returns from these shares. It's ridiculous. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 1 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out. We'll see you all then. Doctors admit link between transgender hormone therapy and cancer in leaked emails. I'm going to read through the story. This is from The Telegraph. This is a prominent publication, but I'm surprised to see this, and I think it needs to be said, reported on, because, of course, it's a major issue affecting the United States as well as Europe. I want to point out that many Scandinavian countries have halted the process by which they're giving children gender-affirming care, the left calls it, child sex change, surgery, and hormones. And these stories, this information that's coming out is actually fairly damning. I want to make this really simple to start this segment off. A lot of people on the left will say, why do you care so much? Look, I'm going to make it really simple for you. I want kids to grow up to be healthy and happy. I don't want them to be depressed and taking their own lives. According to the research we have today, desistance rates, this is not detransition, desistance is different. They could be as high as 95%, ranging between, I think, like 65 and 95. Not the exact numbers, but around that high. 95%. What desistance means is if there's a child who is exhibiting gender dysphoric symptoms, by the time they go through puberty, it's gone. And that means that non-intervention has the highest probability of success in helping these kids. That's right. Non-intervention, puberty. What happens then is we see that suicide rates for trans people could be from 30 to 40 some odd percent. If we are looking at a potential 65, let's just say it's 65% chance to prevent an escalation in suicidality, then non-intervention appears to make the most sense. But I'm not a doctor. Let me read the story for you from The Telegraph. Telegraph.co.uk. Doctors on a leading transgender healthcare body have admitted that patients have developed cancer owing to the effects of hormone treatment. Leaked emails show other medical professionals admitting that trans patients do not always understand the consequences of gender reassignment. The cache of files from the World Professional Association of Transgender Health, WPATH, which sets guidelines that have influenced NHS, that's in London, show that doctors are carrying out life-changing surgery and prescribing puberty blockers, even though they are aware the adults and children may not fully understand the long-term ramifications. One doctor talked about a trans person who died of cancer as a result of his hormone treatment. When they say his, I think they're referring to a biological female. Quote, I have one transition friend colleague who, after about 8 to 10 years of testosterone, developed hepatocarcinoma, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, a form of liver cancer. The doctor wrote, to the best of my knowledge, it was linked to his hormone treatment. It was so advanced that he opted for palliative care and died a couple of months later. Jeez. It is not clear from the documents if the person who died was made aware or knew about the side effect. Another said that they would go ahead with a double mastectomy on a 16-year-old girl, even though hormones had likely given her liver cancer. The oncologist and surgeon both have indicated that the likely offending agents are the hormones. We are prepared to support the patient in any way we can, e.g. top surgery when medically stable. A gender therapist said they had only turned one person down for treatment in 15 years. Quote, I have also intervened on behalf of people who have been diagnosed with major depressive disorder, complex post-traumatic stress disorder, homeless, and got at least an orchiectomy, testicle removal, they said. In the last 15 years, I had to regrettably decline writing only one letter, mainly because the person evaluated was in active psychosis and hallucinated during the assessment session. Other than that, nothing. Everyone got their assessment letter, insurance approval, and are living presumably happily ever after. A number of doctors admitted that the patients often did not understand the ramifications of hormone treatment or surgery, such as developing facial hair. A child psychologist said in a leaked email featured in the report, it is out of their developmental range to understand the extent to which some of these medical interventions are impacting them. They'll say they understand, but then they'll say something else that makes you think, oh, they didn't really understand that they're going to have facial hair. The contents of the forum was leaked to Michael Schellenberger, a U.S. writer and journalist. The WPATH files show that what is called gender medicine is neither science nor medicine, he said. The experiments are not randomized, double-blind, or controlled. It's not medicine, since the first rule is to do no harm. All that requires informed consent. And that requires informed consent. Activist members of WPATH know that the so-called gender-affirming care they provide can result in lifelong complications and sterility, and that their patients do not understand the implications, such as loss of sexual function and the ability to experience orgasm. Wow. These leaked files show overwhelming evidence that the professionals within WPATH know they are not getting consent from children, adolescents, and vulnerable adults or their caregivers. WPATH is made up of doctors, psychologists, therapists, activists, and although it has some UK members in it based in the US, it is best known for standards of care guidelines, which the NHS in England was previously aligned with. Scotland still is. WPATH was approached for comment. The one thing I hear about quite often is actually really interesting. When we learn that these hormone therapies and puberty blockers could result in a loss of sexual function, you get these activists going on Twitter being like, why are you so obsessed with a child having the ability to have sexual function? You creep, you pedo, et cetera, et cetera. And my response is simply for the same reason we're concerned about female genital mutilation. Not that we're concerned that children would be doing these things, but that when they become adults, they may be negatively impacted. There are many activists who are victims of female genital mutilation practiced in Islamic countries who have come forward as adults and say it has harmed them and harmed their lives. I think that's important to point out that people are suffering and they're saying, hey, we should consider this. There are many people who have detransitioned, meaning that when they were young, they were told to undergo these therapies and these treatments only to realize it was a mistake. And now their bodies have been irreversibly damaged. An interesting point here is how they say some people truly don't, these children don't realize they will have facial hair. There is one very unfortunate detransitioner who is female, is now morbidly obese, bald, and having facial hair. These individuals are depressed and they're very upset. I am deeply concerned that these people may be prone to self-harm. And therein lies the main challenge here. Let's talk about what we're trying to accomplish. Do I hate trans people? Of course not. I have friends who are trans. I really don't care if you want to live your life. If you want to split your tongue, get ear piercings, if you want to get implants, a lot of people get a lot of surgeries for a lot of reasons. I do hope that people get therapy, regardless of what modification they want to make, to truly understand if it's the right thing for you. That is to say, you know, some people want breast implants. Maybe you should talk to a therapist. And I'm not saying something wrong with you. I'm saying, analyze these feelings that you're having and ask yourself why you want to undergo this. Maybe you do. Fine. By all means, do whatever you want to do. The issue I'm concerned with is I believe that child transition surgeries and medical care, by the math, clearly shows that these practices will increase the rate of suicide, depression, and self-harm. That is evidenced by the high rate of suicide that is cited often by, say, Jack Dorsey, for instance. on in that debate I had with Jack Dorsey on Joe Rogan Experience, he mentioned that, you know, the suicide rate for trans people is very high, so we're trying to protect them to reduce that. And I pointed out, what about body dysmorphic disorder? People want to cut their hands off. You don't protect them. But he's got a good point. There is a high suicide rate for trans people. Okay. If children typically desist through puberty, meaning they simply stop being trans, even like take a child who says they're trans, do nothing. Once they go through puberty, they have an upwards of 90%+ chance they will just align with their bodies and be happy with who they are. If that's the case, why take the risk of increasing suicidal ideation? Because when we talk about the rate of suicide being so high, understand that's just people who actually commit suicide. There are many people who are suffering and are saved. People, someone will intervene and stop them. They may have attempted it and someone saved them. We do not want to see an increase in suicide rates among people. This is the scary reality of what we're seeing. A financial incentive, manipulation, activists shutting down scientific studies. And it's worrying to me why there is this big push to engage in practices that will sterilize. You know, I was using Google Gemini and I asked it, are puberty blockers reversible? And it says yes. And I said, you are wrong. And it responded with, I apologize. While many people do believe that puberty blockers are reversible, they do have profound long-term effects, such as, goes on to mention, bone density, kneecaps, vision development, and sterility as being irreversible consequences to puberty blockers. Why then would anyone advocate for these things with that risk? I suppose you can take a look at the risk of side effects versus the risk of suicidality, but then we can look at the desistance rates and see that kids typically desist. They don't detransition. If they never transition, they simply just align with their bodies and find happiness. This story is terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. But I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 4 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. Oh, we got another one of these. So we have this quote from Seth Rogen about not wanting to have kids. And it's really sad, but I do think there is some defense I'll throw the way of these individuals only a little bit. And look, I think it's great to have kids. I think you should have kids. I think more people should have kids. I think the climate cultists don't want you to have kids and the Malthusians don't want you to have kids, but I think you should. And before I get millions of comments from people being like, where's your kids, Tim? I'll just put it this way. We have two extra bedrooms in our house, family planning. We'll leave it at that. Personal business. But I do think there is something to give, you know, on like a scale of 1 to 10, I will give a 9 in the criticism and a 1 in the defense of people like Seth Rogen. But let's roll with this. Here's the quote. We're effing psyched all the time. We're laying in bed on Saturday mornings, smoking weed, watching movies naked. If we had kids, we could not be effing doing this. Okay, I'm just going to say this. It's a weird thing for someone who hasn't experienced something to be like, it is better to not have experienced said thing. There are people who have kids, and the overwhelming majority, this is true, would not give up their children to go back to lying in bed, sleeping in, naked, and smoking pot. All right, let me just put it this way. Ask anybody who has children, and you may find some people who say yes because they don't like their kids. It happens. It does. Overwhelming majority of people, obviously, if you asked them, would you rather have children, your kid right now, you have a child, you've experienced life with your child, would you rather keep your child and everything you've been through, yeah, the poopy nights and the rough times and the waking up in the middle of the night, would you give all that up if you could go back to laying in bed naked for extended periods of time and smoking pot? And you know what they will tell you? They will say, I wouldn't give up my child for anything. That's a fascinating thing. I don't have kids. Like I mentioned, extra bedrooms in the house, family planning. But I certainly can recognize objective fact. Humans have always loved having children, overwhelmingly. And while there are many people who may not like kids, and some people are better off not having kids and they don't want to have kids, I can respect that. The overwhelming majority of human beings want to have kids, enjoy having kids, and feel passion, love, and purpose for having kids. Why? If they didn't, there would be no humans. So we have this. And the one degree of defense I want to give to people like this, one degree, but 9 degrees of criticism. You got to understand, this could be a cope, right? Seth Rogen with his wife. You know, here's what I think about. What if his wife can't have kids? You know, what if something happened to her and they cried over it and she miscarried? And so when people come to them and say, you should be having kids, why don't you have kids? Maybe he gets defensive and doesn't want to say something as personal as my wife had cancer and now she can't and we're struggling with this. Maybe he just wants to appear strong and say, no, we're totally happy. Everything's great. That's why I say one degree. You always got to recognize sometimes there are people who can't have kids and they're miserable because of it. And they know they're miserable and they wish they could. That being said, you can't then come out and encourage people to live lives like this. You got to encourage people to have kids. And I'll tell you why. What I said was Seth Rogen can say all of this stuff. And then 40 years from now, Seth will be dead. Not in that, in a mean way, like, I don't know how old he's in his late 40s. That'll be past life expectancy, likely be dead. His wife will be alive and she will be petitioning government to pay for her assisted living. I do not believe this system will work at all. If you have a bunch of women are going to live longer than men for a variety of reasons. I love the memes where it's like, why do women live longer than men? It's like a guy jumping off of a garage roof onto a picnic or onto a folding table and smashing it. And it's like, there's a lot of reasons. That could be one of them. But what's going to happen without family? You see, still, we have kids who put their parents in assisted living. And because they can't afford it and they need someone full time to help their parents as they age and things like that. I get it. It's not easy. Your parents go to a home where someone can help them assisted living. But the kids pay for it. Granted, there still is some government paying for it. But what happens when there's no kids? It's going to get really, really weird. All the things they own will be inherited by the state. The state will become empowered. Then the people who are living will say, give that stuff to us to fund. It's going to create a very broken and weird system. When you go to the younger generation and say people you do not know who have no kids require your labor to support them, they're going to say, no way. I'm not giving my hard-earned tax money and labor to these people. Why? That system will not be sustainable. And so when they say things like, we're smoking weed and we're laying in bed all day, it's like, okay, and in 40 years, what are you going to do? More importantly, I want you to understand, as I've mentioned this several times before, this woman, I don't know her name, Seth Rogen will die before his wife. And it's really easy for him to say this. You know why? As he's lying on his deathbed, as all humans will, he will be holding onto the hand of his wife, saying, we had a tremendous, amazing adventure. I love you so much. Thank you for being my everything. And then his wife will cry as his heart stops. The news reports will spread far and wide. Famous comedian Seth Rogen passes at 83 years old or whatever. And it'll be a sad day. You know, it's a sad day whenever anyone dies. But what about her? What about her? She'll live. And one day, she'll feel ill, and she'll be in the hospital, and she'll be in her hospital bed. The doctor will walk in and say, ma'am, I'm sorry, it's terminal. Is there anyone you'd like me to call? And she's going to go, no. Well, okay, we're here if you need us. Just press the button. And he'll walk out of the room. And she'll be sitting there in the dim light, staring at a blank TV, whimpering to herself as she passes away alone, terrified, with nothing. That's horrifying. Imagine the alternative. You have a bunch of kids, and then you are old and you are dying. The doctor says, ma'am, I'm sorry, but it's terminal. He then turns to your children who are there with you the whole time and says, we're here if you guys need anything from us. And the children then sit down next to mom with their grandkids. And the grandkids are crying and saying, grandma, we love you. Thank you for everything. And you say, don't forget the recipes I gave you. You need to make sure you get the Christmas tree up. No more waiting. And don't forget the secret ingredient in the cake recipe. And the children will say, I won't forget it, Mom. And you will pass in a bright room with smiling, crying faces, crying, saying, we love you and we'll always love you. Thank you for everything. It's not always so perfect. Sometimes you die in a car accident. Sometimes people die in a car accident and it happens before anyone realizes it. Sometimes the kids aren't able to make it there in time. But you will know that everything you've done was not in vain and will live on forever. I want to wrap up this segment by showing you exactly why you want to have children. And I don't mean to drag these wonderful people into this, but they've got 700,000 followers on Instagram. And it is an Instagram account called Chasing Sage, where I believe it is a couple and their two children. And I don't think they show they present their real names. You can never see their faces because they're wearing goggles. But Instagram recommended me these videos, and it was the best Instagram recommendation. You see, I skateboard and sometimes rollerblade only for like a little bit in my life in the past year. Mostly skateboard, though. And recently, snowboarding and skiing. I recently started skiing. I have more fun skiing because I'm never going to be someone doing like 1260s on a snowboard. So I really just want to ride down the mountain. And I think skiing is easier to get started with. I'm better at snowboarding. On a snowboard, I've gone down double black diamonds, powder days. So not like ice or anything like that. But on a snowboard, I know to stop and go and spin. And I've actually done some really basic tricks and stuff like that. But skiing is just, I'm learning how to ski, hockey stop, and do all the basic stuff. And it's easier to get on and off the lift. It's less stressful. It's just chill. And that's where I'm at in my life. So Instagram recommends me this video of it's a family with their five-year-old. And there's a reason why they have 700 followers. And there's a reason why humans have survived as long as they did. Because humans want to have children. And I believe videos like this are probably like the most inspiring things to have kids. I want to play just a simple clip for this. And I want to stress this to the family. I'm not trying to make anything they're doing political. I have no political statements to make about these family or cultural statements. It's just snowboarders with their kids. But tell me, for those of you who don't yet have kids and you are young, tell me that this tell me you don't want to have kids after watching that. I'm going to play this video for you. Just listen.
I have a pow stash. Shredosaurus coming through. Make some room because it's coming through. Woohoo! Snowboarding on a volcano. No. Snowboarding on a volcano. No.
All right.
See, the sun's coming out.
Try not to fall on your bum.
I went through that pow, didn't I?
Root. I found a root.
Now I snowboard just like Mom.
Somebody lost their underwear on the Christmas tree.
Wah! Wah! That was fun.
Okay, so not only are children the most important resource of a nation because they create the next wave of humans to inherit the earth. This is why I say crimes against children are the most egregious crimes that could be committed. Murder is not nearly as bad as harming children. Because these children, they inherit the earth. They carry on our legacy. They make civilization. We were all children once. And now here we are as adults, inheriting this system with responsibility. And those that get abused and harmed, well, that impairs the entirety of civilization. Murder, of course, is bad. One of the worst crimes. But when you look at this, I think the best way it's been explained to me, as someone who does not have kids, but has certainly in the family planning stages, we'll just leave it at that. It's funny because people just don't shut up. They're like, have kids, Tim. And I was like, guys, calm down. I am an advocate for having families. What I hear from people is that, you know, when you're a kid, you have that excitement, and that wonder. Everything's brightly colored and tastes so good, and you're excited for the next day, and you want more, and you want to learn, and you want to experience. And when you get older, things dull a little bit. The colors are no longer as bright. It's true. You see colors more vibrantly when you're younger. We know that. Sounds. You hear more sounds. Your hearing gets worse. And things become routine. Been there, done that. Me personally, I've traveled the world. I've been to like 30 some odd 40 countries or whatever. It's crazy. And I've had all these experiences. And what I was told is that feeling that you had that goes away as you get older reignites when you are with your children and you are showing them these things and you can see the feeling, you live vicariously through them. Now, some people do it bad, you know, badly. The parents who want their kids to play baseball and succeed because they're living vicariously through their children in that way, you know, things can be bad. But it's okay. If you always wanted to be a pro baseball player, so you raise a kid to be a pro baseball player, it feels great. You get to share in that experience and watch them succeed. There are there are skateboarders whose children are famous professionals, and they never were because they loved skating and they gave that to their children, and their children accomplished the dreams. And through that, they can smile and say that's what they contributed. They understood, they lived a life, and they said, it wasn't for me, but I can make it for someone else. And so when I see these videos, and it's not, there's other channels on Instagram where they have kids mic'd up snowboarding and stuff. It makes you want to have kids of your own. It makes you understand why children must be protected, why we have to have these laws, why child abusers need to go to prison, why Epstein is the most atrocious monster one could imagine. Because it shows you why humans have survived. It shows you we get it. We're human. We like kids. We want to have kids and protect them from evil and abuse and monsters. And that's why there are so many people on the right who are concerned about the books that are in these schools. And it's why there are so many people who would insult and rag on Seth Rogen for saying something as stupid as Saturday morning, I wake up smoking weed, watching movies naked. If we had kids, we could not be doing this. I'll give him a shout out. At least he's recognizing he shouldn't have kids because of the things he prioritizes. And certainly there are parents, even though they have kids, smoke weed, watch movies naked, and lay in bed all day. And that sucks for those kids. So I can respect someone recognizing they'd be a bad parent not having kids, sure. For all the bad things about Seth Rogen, he's a talented guy. He's not a political guy. He's not smart in politics, but he's funny. And it's unfortunate that there is talent that will not be carried on into the world. That after billions of years of human evolution and reproduction, it ends with you. It's a sad prospect. It saddens me to see that Seth Rogen, for all of his successes, despite our political disagreements, will not continue what he was and share that. We are immortal. Not in the way that people want to be. But everything that makes you you can be carried on when you have a family. So you know what? I'll say this. You don't got to have kids. Don't do it if you don't want to. Some people have kids when they're older, some when they're younger. Certainly younger is the way to do it. And I can recognize that being, I'm going to turn 38 in 3 days and I don't have kids. But like I mentioned, family planning. And so, you know, not everybody, it's not for everybody, but I certainly think that society, humanity, everything is better off when people do have children. You know, I was flying on a plane recently and these cities are massive and I do have concerns about overpopulation. I wouldn't call myself as Malthusian, a Malthusian. I believe that human technology and advancement solves the problem of overpopulation as it solves the problem, every problem that we faced. The reality, I think, is that we do need a reformation in our culture. We need to reinvigorate it. We need more responsibility. Because when you maximize human potential, technology rapidly progresses. And with this exponential gain in technological advancement, overpopulation is no longer an issue. We figured out how to sustain the machines, colonize other planets, explore the stars, and that's the future I want to see, which means we need cultural reinvigoration. And it means people need to have more kids. But it also means that if there are bad people with bad ideas who would burn the system down and they don't have kids, I ain't going to cry all that much about it. So you know what? As a lot of people would rag on and insult Seth Rogen for not having kids, I think we should be congratulating him and cheering for him. I think we can recognize the idea is bad. People should have kids. But how about this? Somebody who doesn't want to, and they only want to sit around smoking weed and watching movies naked, they probably should not have kids because they wouldn't be good parents. They recognize that. And we do not want people of that, I don't know, circumstance to carry on to the next generations. It may be with liberals aborting their kids and sterilizing their kids and refusing to have kids in the first place. Only those who are truly responsible and truly want to have kids begin to do so. It may be that something Idiocracy missed comes to fruition. Idiocracy is a great movie, but there needs to be an inversion, you know, a more positive view. In the film Idiocracy, what happens is only those who reproduce the most are the most successful, and smart people tend not to reproduce because, you know, concerns about the economy or otherwise. But I think what Mike Judge missed, and maybe only could have realized today, is that it is lazy, entitled individuals who are not having kids. And it is right-leaning, family-oriented people who are more conservative and religious folk are having kids. So the future likely won't be like Idiocracy. It'll be more like Theocracy. I suppose we'll see. I got no beef. Seth, don't have kids if you don't have kids. I think he's a funny guy. I think he's made a lot of great movies. This Is the End is legit one of the funniest movies ever. But I can separate politics from the art. I can recognize there are people I disagree with who can make funny jokes. I think comedy is being killed by a lot of these woke ideologies, and I'd like to see a resurgence, but it's sad when people say they don't want to carry on, you know? But it is what it is. No one's forcing him to do it. And as I already mentioned, you know, they probably shouldn't if they don't want to. There are a lot of issues already with kids who don't have parents, kids who have bad parents. Adoption certainly is an important thing. And I'll shout out a lot of these conservatives because the left likes to say that these pro-life people never adopt when, in fact, pro-life people are more likely to adopt than pro-choice people. Isn't that funny? The pro-choice people are like, how many of you adopted? Haha, got you. And then it's like, actually, people who are pro-life tend to adopt substantially more than people who are pro-choice because they actually believe they actually believe in this stuff. I guess, however, many on the left just blindly follow the talking points and the manipulation. And then the end result is fairly obvious. If you do not have strength of mind to resist manipulation and propaganda, you're not going to survive no matter what. And that could mean attrition over time. You don't have kids, your kids die, your kids are sterilized, you abort your kids. Or it could mean that you fall victim to scams and other crises that over a long enough period of time result in a loss of life. I think it's all unfortunate. But what can you do? You can lead a horse to Harvard, but you can't make him learn, can you? And so for people like Seth Rogen, who have grown up this way, and his wife, maybe the reality is they just shouldn't have kids. But I'll add this too. You get all these people, and they're nasty. They're nasty people, not everybody. They go online, and they attack and insult anybody who says they don't want to have kids or don't have kids without taking into consideration what the circumstances may be. You got it. You catch more flies with honey. Actually, you catch more flies with human waste, but you get the point. As the saying goes, for humans at least, you've got to be nice. Not everybody. Not everybody deserves you to be. Not everybody deserves your respect and you being nice to them. But for someone you don't know, I'll leave it there. Good luck, Seth Rogen. Next segment is coming up at 6 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then.